Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, always up to something good, always doing wonderful things among His people. The Lord our God loves us. He cherishes us, and He gives us our best guidance. You know my favorite scripture by now, that He, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide us into all truth. And the guidance of God is priceless. It can take us far beyond what we understand. Looking unto Jesus, the Lord has been he's been giving me great revelation about things that happens inside of our hearts as we look to Jesus. Now, this is precisely what Jesus did when he, in his battle against Satan, when he was tempted in the wilderness. He won because he was focused on the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is light. It provides us with light, understanding, and it causes us to be pure. And some years back, my pastor and I had a conversation. He said, as you study the Word of God, demons fall off your life. Now, in this world, there are many demons, and they come to influence us wrong. We're tempted with doubt, unbelief. Those are temptations. Those are actually weapons of Satan. Fear, doubt, unbelief. And then when it gets to rejection and, you know, rebellion, unbelief is rejection. But when it comes to rebellion, you know better and you won't do better. You know, those that continue to do that, they end up being judged because they know better. And when people don't know better, they're deceived. And I asked, and the Lord gives me definitions from time to time. And he gave me some yesterday and more clarity on the ones he already gave me. He said, deception is trusted darkness. It's in the darkness that you trust. That's your deception. And that's what the enemy comes. That's the starting point. That's the entryway into the kingdom of darkness. Deception. And then sin is infectious, so if you start sinning, it's hard to stop. It has an addictive side. It's a hard hardening side to it. And the more people love sin, the more they gravitate to darkness of all forms and types. And that's why it's time now to go forward and not backwards. It's time to seek the Lord and do His perfect will. And I see, when you seek the Lord, when you take Him at His word and hear Him out, you begin to have an appetite for the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is light. Jesus once said, now you are pure because you've heard my word. And the word was in the disciples right before he was crucified. On the way to the garden, He told them that in St. John 15. Now you're pure, you know, because of the word. You're clean because of the word. So as we study the word, our mind is renewed. And being a Christian, your heart is made new. And if you're a sinner and you hear the word, that's where you get faith from. Cornelius got faith from hearing the word when Peter preached to the Gentile man. Cornelius and his house. And they got saved. Because they heard the word. They were able to act on the word. Well, if you're sick and you hear the word of healing, you can be healed because the Lord has provided healing for you. Healing is in redemption. And it's up to us to receive what He said is true. And then comes along doubt. Now, doubt is a disabler. He gave me that definition some years back. Well, last year, but doubt is a disabler. And he showed me how different the every time he gave me a definition, sometimes he showed me the focus of it. And the reason the way doubt works is it looks away from God. Faith looks to God and rejects doubt. Well, he added something about faith. He said faith looks to God and simultaneously rejects darkness. Faith looks to God and rejects darkness in real time. And remember, faith is always present and always current. It's like when you turn the lights on, the lights stay on. Well, that's the same thing. When you speak a word of faith, you're in faith. You have faith. You've spoken it. You're in it. And it's governed by your own will. You stay in faith at your choice. And you stay out of doubt at your choice. Because Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not in your heart. And that's where the battleground is. That's where you have to win, in the heart. If you don't win in the heart, you're not going to win on the battlefield. And that's why the fight with Satan is an easy fight, if you surrender to God. As long as you're on God's side. If you fear him, you obey him. See, obedience, that's the first step. You surrender to God. You submit yourself to God. You obey God at your will. Then you resist the devil and he'll flee from you as if he was fleeing from God. Just like he fled from Jesus. He'll flee from you. Because he don't want whatever those angels are going to do to him when you're in faith. He'll be happy to leave you alone. He'll run from you as in terror. And he'll be glad he got away. Now, everything is, all the word of God is certain. It's set. It's true. But when you know, last week, the Lord had me continue to saying that when you have any problem, success, blessings come to you that you've been believing for, never look at those things. Never regard those things. You have to look at them, you know, to use them. But I'm talking about looking at it where it takes your focus away from why you have it. You know, if you believe God for a nice truck, you got the truck. You can be so happy about the truck that your attention goes to it instead of who gave it to you. It's not, now this is not, I'm not saying that God will get jealous because you got your truck and you're happy. He's going to rejoice with you. But what I am saying is, when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. When you look into the Lord, you can do anything. You can even enjoy the truck better, or the car, or the house, or whatever it is. When you're focused on the Lord, you can enjoy your family better. You can enjoy your husband, if you're a man, and your wife, if you're a woman, because you're in God's will. You're looking at him. You can enjoy your possessions 100 times better looking at Jesus. And when we're regarding the word of God, when we're going by the word of God, when we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, all of the obstacles seem very small. And you can handle it better. You can be wiser better. Now, the enemy is going to try to, he's trying to find a way to ruin your success. So now you have to, not in fear. You don't do these things in fear. You do them because of, everything you do is motivated by the love of God. Because God is going to help you do even greater things. Now, sometimes people don't desire a lot of things to be happy. They want a few things in life and they're satisfied. Now, when I say looking unto God, the purpose of it is not to get more stuff when you're already satisfied. And you don't have to get more stuff if you don't want more stuff. But the life of God is a prospering way, and there's so many ways to prosper. When you get to a certain point, you got what you were after. There are still abilities that we have that we need to explore. And we can learn things from God when we're not distracted. So looking unto Jesus keeps you from being distracted and your attention's on better things. And you can see things are always coming up and creeping up. And you're going to have to be able to destroy those, the works of darkness. Because you don't need the works of darkness tearing down your life, hindering your children, hindering your wife, and trying to bring your house down. Because that's what the enemy's doing. While you're teaching your children the right things at school, There are some students that's trying to teach them the wrong things. That's trying to persuade them the wrong way. And the only way you can help govern them is to be on point with God. If you look into the Lord, he'll show you things that's happening in the shadows. And I know what I'm talking about. He will show you things that's happening where you can't see. He's looking right at it. And he'll give you the right advice to give your children so that they can be strengthened, so that they can stay in the word of God and in the love of God. And you have to know how to deal with persuasive people. That's an art all by itself. You have to know how to deal with people that's giving you wrong advice. Because sometimes you look up to them. Sometimes they're the students that your child may look up to and may want to impress. And the enemy knows it. So he'll try to persuade them wrong. And you have to, and you know, when I was coming up, if you didn't do it, you was a chicken. If you didn't do this, you was a chicken. And they'll laugh at you because you were trying to do what's right. And they didn't see it that way. They said you was a chicken. But people don't say that as much as they used to. It's other things now. But now, everybody has to be able to live out of their heart and not motivated by what's on the outside. Satan's out there making a fool out of people. People have gotten on drugs trying to prove they wasn't a chicken. They smoked cigarettes and got addicted to it because they was trying to prove that they wasn't a darn chicken. Same thing with alcohol. What started as a stupid joke ended up costing them dearly. And that don't need to happen. And you have to, you know, we all have to be able to stand and do what's right because it's right. And we can. We are in Christ. We're not in the world. We're not of the world. We don't have to feel the need to impress anybody at any time. But when we look into the Lord and receiving his righteousness, if you desire his righteousness, you can receive it. If you desire his word, you can receive it. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we can do. That's the way we operate. But looking unto Jesus takes you far beyond the things of this realm and into the heart of God's will, where you can commune with him. See, doubt is a looking away from God. And doubt will have you seeing your problem bigger than God in your eyes. Well, you don't know anybody that got healed of this condition. Everybody you know, they died from that condition. And you're looking at what happened in the past. And most people don't know that they have healing and redemption. And a lot of good people, Christian people, were taught wrong about it. They were taught that God might heal you. And many of them don't even expect it. Now, nowadays, more people in denominational circles, and they believe in God for healing and getting it, because more people have taught it. It's not as bad as it used to be in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. But now people are getting healed. They know about it because faith was preached and people got healed that they know. So now the chances are higher that people will get healed, but not always. Sometimes there are still many people out there, good people out there that don't know that God gave them healing. And they call themselves suffering for the Lord through erroneous teaching, bad teaching, poor teaching. People that meant well taught wrong, and they looked up to them, and they got doubts. So doubt it looks away from the perfect will of God. It looks away from the heart of God. It looks away from the faith of God. It looks at the problem. And the problem is too big for God in your eyes. Or in the eyes of the doubter. I'm not saying you're a doubter. I don't want to accuse nobody of that mess. Doubt is a choice. The way you kill it, you know, Goliath was out there, but he had to be killed. David killed him. Doubt is out there. It has to be killed. And there's a way to kill it. And the way you kill it, you receive what God said. And when you study the chapters and books and scriptures of the Word of God, that'll get in your heart, and the promises of God will be bigger than your problem. It'll be bigger than your pain. God's word will be much greater than your challenge. And you'll choose, I refuse to doubt. I ain't doubting no more. And I work against it. Because the Lord taught me also that doubt can exist in different parts of your being. It can be in your body, in different parts of your body. You may believe God for cancer, and you may have a sinus problem like I did for a very long time. And your body gets used to it. It looks for the symptoms. When Scott Webb laid his hands on me and healed me of it, I felt it gone right then and instantly. The first time I lost it. And the Lord showed me that doubt can exist in different parts of your being. And my nose wasn't used to breathing free like that. So I kept looking for it. I didn't realize it. And eventually get in your heart and even though you don't want it, it's still a choice. If you receive it, if you don't do anything about it, it's a choice. You didn't choose to get rid of it. And I didn't choose to get rid of it because I didn't realize that I was fighting doubt from my heart, not my body and not my mind. And sometimes I might fight it in my mind. If you know, you fight it in different areas. But I learned you have to destroy doubt in your heart so that your faith will work. But you can also destroy it in your mind, and then the symptoms. Your body's looking for symptoms. If you have a symptom, it will distract you from your faith, and it'll grow bigger than your problem. I had a friend who had a stomach condition, and the Lord healed him. But his body was looking for symptoms, and he could feel pain. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "There's nothing there." Same thing happened to my daughter. She was healed of Crohn's a few years back. Healed of Crohn's at church. Pastor laid hands on her. Said anybody with stomach condition, come up. And she went up. He laid hands on her. She got healed. And I didn't have to buy those medicines anymore. I mean, I asked her some months later, how was she doing? She said, fine. And I said, I noticed I hadn't had her mother would call when it was time to buy those, that Pentazo or whatever, and medicine she would take. And I hadn't had to buy any. We take turns buying it, and I didn't. I said, when the last time you took the medicine? She said, I didn't need it. All right, that November, after that, she had a problem. She felt pain, and they did a colonoscopy, didn't find Crohn's at all. And she called me at work and told me. No trace of it. But they said that she was lactose intolerant and she would eat a lot of cheese and pizza. She just stopped eating all that stuff. But your body will look for symptoms. Get you back in a rut. So when you get here, keep looking at Jesus. Keep regarding the word. Even though you're healed and there's no symptoms, there's no problems, keep on looking to Jesus. Not out of fear, but to stay on top of things and to do his perfect will. So that you see, when you kill all the distractions in your life, now you're free to grow and learn from God without hesitation, without restriction. You can enjoy his company. You can focus on greater things. You can ask him those questions you always wanted to know the answer to. You can enjoy God, like we said many broadcasts ago. You enjoying his presence takes you to greater places, and you can see things in a much greater way. See, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit are there to help you and guide you in every form of life. Because God loves us. He don't stop loving. He cares about every part of our lives. And he wants to be a tremendous blessing. He's graciously and he's greatly generous towards us. And he wants to help us and take us far in this life. The Lord our God has so much to say, and I want to hear it all. It's good. He's got so much good news to share with us. But the world can be a distraction and try to take away what God has given us. See, when you live the word of God, you provide light. And when people see there's something better, then they'll want in on it and they'll decide to follow God. And that's how it works. They'll choose to follow God. They'll start believing on Jesus Christ again. And the Lord, he does great things when we're in faith. So looking to Jesus is the way to go. Now, last time we were in Revelations, we were looking at the church at Sardis. Now we had, I wanted to point something out, Revelation chapter 7. It says, we were looking at the Revelation scriptures, what he said to the churches, because this is how the Holy Spirit manifests himself to the seven churches. And the Holy Spirit manifests himself in seven ways, except through the seven spirits of God, which is one spirit, but he manifests himself seven ways for our benefit. Now, this is Jesus talking. He said, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man opens." Now, he encouraged them right there. He told them facts. Now, this was a mighty people. He said, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Then he said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now this is a word of counsel and wisdom right here. Verse 11. Then he said in verse 12, and this will strengthen him. He said, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." See, the Holy Spirit, he comes to help us and strengthen us. Start off saying, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man opens." This word is a word of knowledge and also from the spirit of might. He knew that they would appreciate that he is holy. "These things says he that is holy." They wanted to be righteous. They had an endearing relationship with God. They wanted to do the right thing. And when Jesus said that, it strengthened them, because that's what they were after. He knew they could appreciate the fact that he was holy and true. And then he everything Jesus said is designed to help them dig deeper and be stronger. See, the spirit of might encourages you from the inside, where you take on the word of God, you decide to take to receive it, you decide to obey it, you decide and you want to, you have a great desire to do right and do the things of God, the living things. The spirit of might. And it's also a spirit of knowledge, because he's speaking what happened. Verse 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. When you've been doing the works of God, God will open doors for you. And you have to choose to go in there of your own free will. This assignment God gave me, he gave me this. And the way it's conducted was my open door. My pastor said that that would be three doors. And you have to choose which one you're going to go through. Or whether you go through any at all. He said, if you don't go through the door, things will be like they were. And you'll have a satisfied life, but it won't increase. Or you can walk through the door and things are going to start happening. Well, the Lord gave me two options. And if I took the second option, I would have one more. But he gave me some options, and I chose the one that he said was the best. And I'm not going to tell you what it was, because it's a secret. I won't release it unless he tell me to. But I chose the option where more people would live and make heaven. And that was his best and perfect will. See, when you're in the perfect will of God, he opens doors. When you've been doing what you were supposed to do, he'll open doors for you. And you know, to help you, he's not limited to only when you do what's best, but doors do open when you in obedience. And they probably open faster. You can go to I know that you can't go forward unless you win the fight that you're in, and you've been faithful. You have to be faithful to go to the next step, to follow God into the next realm of your life. We grow from glory to glory. The next glory, you have to obey God to get there. And it's easy and better, because God is foundational and he loves us. If he does a rush job and blesses us to go forward without foundation, we may fall, because the next glory, the next step, is going to require stability, because you're doing something greater and more important. All right, verse 9, he said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. See, when you're in obedience, your enemies will serve you. They'll start losing. Now, every time Israel got distracted and looked at the world, different nations came, rose up against them. You know, and you can probably relate what they were doing to the nation that rose up against them. You know, whenever they start the lust of the eye, when they had that kind of problem, the Philistines will rise up. When Saul had victory over the Amalekites till he got in pride, then they rise up against people in pride. But when you're in obedience, they start losing. You know, we have a president that honored Jesus Christ. He's the first president to say he was a Christian. He openly said he's a Christian. The other ones kind of waffled around it. And you would hear if they were a Christian or not. He said he was a Christian, a Protestant. And he honored Jesus. He was the first one that several preachers prayed in the name of Jesus when he was inaugurated. And he stuck with it. And ISIS started losing. Yesterday on the news, I saw that Iraq is riding ISIS out of their country. They're winning. When you honor God, your enemies will start losing. And so, when a nation do right, your enemies will start, just like in verse 9. He said, I will make them come to worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. See, the enemy is going to tempt. He tempts the world too. And when others fall and fail and you stand, you're going to be the master. You're going to be the one in charge. You're going to be the one unscathed. You'll be the head and not the tail. And he sent temptation against the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He said, behold, I come quickly. And right now, he's coming quickly. In the day now. In fact, on the radio broadcast, instead of it being called end times, it's called end days. Because now we're down to the Y. So my next broadcast will start in January. Is going to be end days. Instead of end times. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. If you don't stand fast, people can take the crown that's supposed to go to you. He said, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. This is the spirit of might. If they do something, so that's counsel, might, and wisdom. Verse 13, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now this is for us. All of it is for us. And this sanctions it. That last part shows that what he told them, he's telling us too, for our embeddement. Now, as we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we're going to see the mighty hand of God in our lives. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, truly. And Jesus is our Lord.